Hour number two of the Weekend Huddle here on 102.5 The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly BI membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly here with you for the next hour. And as we do every week here on the program, we'll get to our poll question. Now, I put this out last night, and many of you have voted. It has been wildly popular. I'm very proud of our audience for voting on this one.
They love the show.
I'm thrilled that they love this show because I love this show and I love you guys. Who is most likely to win a championship in the next few years? Or first, I should say.
Yep.
The Nashville Predators or the Tennessee Titans? Through 56 votes, which is the most that has ever been occurred on this segment. Sorry, I'm trying to pull it up and talk at the same time.
You're good.
58 votes now.
Yeah.
You still got 4 minutes left to go vote. 74% of people say the Nashville Predators will win a Stanley Cup before the Tennessee Titans win a Super Bowl. And I have to say, I agree with it. I think the Predators, I put this out because the Predators and the Titans both had similar seasons last year. Bottom of the barrel. Had a lot of hype coming into the season and then just kind of fell flat. Mm-hmm. The Predators, I think, are more of a playoff caliber team this year than the Titans will be for the next 3 to 4 years. The Predators, I think, have the veteran leadership. They have young talent. It's just a matter of can that mesh together with the coaching system. And I tend to believe that it will on some level. Do I think they're Stanley Cup favorites this year? Absolutely not. But I think they have a chance to get into the playoffs, and that's kind of where I stand with the 74% of people who agree with me.
Yeah. Out of these two options, I think the Preds do have the better option to winning a championship for sure before anybody. I mean, I have a other tab on this as well. We'll get in a second. But you're right. The Preds on paper and just the, you talk about the veteran leadership. And Barry Trotz was on yesterday on our station. He mentioned, you know, this is – there are a lot of young guys he wants to, you know, see step up. And if those guys end up, you know, hitting, this could be a really good success for Nashville. And the fact of that, too, he mentioned Stamkos specifically. He's still got a lot in the tank. He still has a lot to contribute.
And I watched him yesterday. That dude, he's still got a motor on him.
See?
He's fun to watch.
There is a grit factor to a lot of these veteran players the Preds have that a lot of other veteran players don't have it.
Yeah.
And Stamkos is one of them. Roman Yossi is one of them. Obviously, he says that he has his POTS thing under control, which is a good thing to hear if you're a Preds fan. Philip Forsberg seems to be in great spirits as well because, you know, he brought in – didn't bring in, but he kind of housed Brady Martin through the offseason and seemed like they built a good bond as well. Now, will Brady Martin make the opening roster? Time will tell. But, you know, it's always a good sign. There's a lot of positivity around Nashville right now with the Preds specifically. But I guess I'll come back to my others tab. And I want to hear what Parker has to say.
Oh, my gosh. I have no hope that the Titans are going to win a Super Bowl anytime soon. if I'm just being pessimistic, I have no hope. So I guess by default, my answer is going to be the Nashville Predators. I thought they had a good chance at the beginning of last year because that seemed to be the talk around town that they were going to be a legit Stanley Cup contender. Let's talk about, so you mentioned Steven Stamkos. What about Jonathan Marchessault and Brady Shea? How much gas in the tank do you think those guys have?
I would say, you know, they're younger than Stamkos, obviously. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter, everyone had a down year last year. And Marchessault has exercised some frustrations in the coaching system. And in hearing what Andrew Brunette has had to say and speaking to Michael Bunting yesterday about it, that offensive system has been adjusted and kind of fitted to the needs of the players and the skaters on the ice. Mm-hmm. How much of a success that plays, I'm not sure because the season hasn't started yet. But I would imagine that Marchessault would fit that system nicely. He played on a line yesterday with Fedor Svechkov, and it was Eric Halla.
Really?
And they looked really well together.
Interesting.
They looked really good. I think it was a third line. But it was fun to watch because what I've kind of picked up on the Andrew Brunette system so far is his lines are a young guy and two veterans together. Like that top line was Forsberg, O'Reilly, and
Come on, Mr. Hockey Guy.
Never mind.
It's on the tip of your tongue. I can see it.
It's coming to me. I'll figure it out. Anyways, it's a rookie, or not a rookie, a young guy sandwiched with two veterans. And I think that's brilliant.
I agree.
Because you have two proven guys on either side of you that you can divvy off the puck to. You can find the guy and get to the net pretty easily if you're in that system. As far as the defensive pairings, it's been kind of the same way. The top pair was Roman Josi and Nick Hague, who they just acquired from Vegas in the Colton Sissons trade. And then below them was Brady Shea and Nick Perbix, who they just signed from Tampa Bay. So I want to talk more about the Preds in the next segment.
Sure.
But I do think the Preds have a higher chance to win a Stanley Cup than the Titans have to win a Super Bowl. My question is, and I know you've got a wild card here.
Sure.
Someone else has commented a wild card as well. If you are in the 26% that voted for the Tennessee Titans, why? I'm curious. Because I've kind of laid out why I think the Predators will win first. And the poll has just gone final through 62 votes. Nashville wins by a landslide, 76-24. So if you did vote for the Tennessee Titans, explain why. Now let me get to this comment from Smashville Citizen on Twitter. I honestly think Vanderbilt has a better chance to win a national championship in football than either of these two. I mean, it's a fair point.
Yeah.
I think they're college football playoff contenders. Am I ready to put a national title contender on them yet? Yeah, absolutely not. Got to see more. But they have a chance to be 5-0 heading into that Alabama game. They get that win, then we could start having the conversation, are they SEC threats? Now, you go ahead. What is your wild card that you want to lay out here?
Look, I know a lot of people may turn their heads and scoff, do whatever. There's another professional sports team here in Nashville that is playing a cup final October the 1st. It's Nashville SC. Now, again, if you turn your head, say, oh, soccer, whatever, I get it, okay? I get it. But at the same time, they're a professional sports team here in Nashville. They're doing really good under BJ Callahan, who's had a lot of success at the international stage with the U.S. men's national team. He's brought in some young players and Eddie Tagseth, Patrick Yazbak, a guy by the name of Jason Palacios, who is a very good defenseman. You bring in a guy like Andy Nahar, who people may have written off before he signed with Nashville. I get all that.
Yeah, I love these guys. I know exactly what you're talking about.
I know. You both are just looking at me like, this guy
I'm on the edge of my seat right now.
Exactly.
No, I'm entertained. Or not entertained. I'm interested. I just don't know a lot about it.
And look, people may compare the Lamar Hunt Trophy, the U.S. Open Cup, as the equivalent to the President's Trophy or an AFC Championship. I get all that. It's you can kind of look at the U.S. Open Cup as the NBA in-league tournament, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. You can look at it like that. But to me, I look at this as a possibility for Nashville to host their first – or not host, but to bring home their first ever
Zach
championship.
LaRue. That's who it was.
There you go.
Zach LaRue.
Zach LaRue.
Zach LaRue.
Sorry. It's late. It's all good. All good.
It happens. You got to look at this Nashville team and say, hey, man, they're a good ball club. They've put together a window here. And not only if they win the U.S. Open Cup, they're still qualified and eligible to go to the playoffs in the MLS and win the MLS title.
When is that?
That is at the end of October into November and all.
Okay.
That. Yeah.
So I get very, very confused with all these.
I know. I'm trying to keep up as well. So the U.S. Open Cup is at the beginning of October and the playoffs are after?
Yeah. So the U.S. Open Cup, it's a tournament that goes throughout the season. Okay. So it starts way back in like the beginning of the season, you're like February, March area, stuff like that. And then it goes all the way through into, you know, the latter end of the year. And you also have other tournaments like the Leagues Cup. It's not really under MLS sanctions because you include the Mexican League. You include some teams from Canada and just a few other teams out there, right? You just include three different leagues. So there's that. There's, you know, the best team to, you know, win the MLS, so that's Community Shield. You could count that as like a domestic treble if they're to win three championships. It's like, again, it's like winning the President's Trophy. But that's what I would compare President's Trophy and Community Shield to, because that's what it is.
The best record of the, yeah.
But as for the Lamar Hunt Trophy, Nashville has to be in the conversation. They are in a final. The second time in their professional, I guess, franchise history, they are at a final. They had the Leagues Cup back in 23, I believe it was, when they Lionel Messi came to town. People would have looked at that. If they would have won that, people would be like, oh, yeah, that's a championship. When it's not really sanctioned by the MLS. It's sanctioned by U.S. soccer in a roundabout way.
Yeah.
So you got to look at it that way. Then you look at U.S. Open Cup. That's another one like, hey, that's a real championship. So I know I said earlier in the week that it's the equivalent to President's Trophy. I think that's the hype around it. I wouldn't say that's the equivalent, but that's the hype around it. So that there's that.
That is a interesting point you throw out there. If I were to put Nashville SC on this list, I think I'd probably vote for them just because I know how close they are to championship dreams. I've been out there. I've seen games. That's a competitive team.
Now, if they end up winning MLS championship going on to the rest of the year, I think then at that point people can say, okay, Nashville has a legit contending team yes. for like 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, I think it's just the unknown of the U.S. Open, and I'm one of those people. I don't really understand its pageantry, but you clearly do, and you clearly just laid it out for us, so I appreciate that.
And we're all Nashvillians.
Yeah, I was about to say, we've all lived in Nashville our whole lives, right?
Yeah.
I'm thirsty for a championship, man. I don't even care. I get why outsiders wouldn't consider this
Nashville,
a championship.
Nashville does have a championship.
But dang it, man, I want a championship in Nashville.
We got one, pal.
SC gets it, heck, we're claiming it, all right?
We got one. The Nashville Stampede has won a championship.
That's right, in 2022. And the Nashville Venom. Don't forget about them either.
Yeah.
Nashville Cats almost won a championship. They just came up short. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. If you want to weigh in on the conversation, when we come back, I want to get into some Preds here on the other side as preseason starts tomorrow. Doubleheader here on 102.5. The game starting at 1 p.m. as the Predators take on the Florida Panthers in two games. We'll be on the air pretty much all day. Max Herz will be on the call. Pete Weber will be on the call at some point. Chase McKay will handle the pregame show. It's going to be a blast, so you're going to want to tune in for that. But I want to get to the Preds on the other side. How can the Predators get off to a hot start this season and avoid that 0-5 hill that they had to surmount last season? We'll get to that next year on the Weekend Huddle. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly here with you on 102.5 The Game. The MTSU Blue Raiders will host Marshall today at Floyd Stadium at 6 p.m. Catch all the action on Totally Hits 93.3 with coverage also available on the Totally Hits Nashville app and at the TotallyHitsNashville.com. Welcome back in Weekend Huddle here on 102.5 The Game. And shout out to Mike on our text line, 615-737-1025, who says, this is the first time I've listened to you guys' show. I'm really enjoying it. Thank you very much, Mike. We appreciate that, and we appreciate you listening.
Thanks, Mike.
So thanks, Mike. Let's talk a little bit of Preds here. I'm just setting Parker Kelly up for some extreme success as we send him on his way.
Here we go, boys. Here we go.
How can the Predators get off to a hot start this season? I kind of mentioned in the last segment, it's a healthy mix of veterans and young guys you're going to see out there on the opening day roster. How can the Preds use that to their advantage and get off to a hot start this season?
Who do you want first?
Hockey savant back there.
Hockey savant? You want me first?
Go ahead, Parker, please.
Okay. Rock, paper, scissors for it.
Here's the thing about the Nashville Predators, right? You can't get off to an 0-5 start, right? I mean, that's that where I'm staying the obvious here. But here's the thing, guys. You got to have – I don't pin last year – I mean, UC Saros, is he great? Is he elite? Probably not. But he's a good goaltender, but you got to have better defense in front of him, right?
Is that you saying – he's probably not an elite goaltender, or is that you asking us?
No, he's not. He's not. I agree with Robbie Stanley on this one. He is not an elite goaltender on this one, but you got to have better defensive play in front of him, and let's score some goals.
Okay. Love
Thank
that.
You. Thank Brilliant. You. Wonderful. You sounded like Chance the Rapper on that Saturday Night Live skit where he's on the sideline.
Let's do that hockey.
I can't wait to do the pregame show for the Preds this year and interview all the players.
Yeah, there you go.
Turn around. Just hockey. What's your name say? Is that Skidji?
Skij?
Skij?
Shea. Pretty Shea. There you go.
I don't know what he just said. Back up to you guys.
No, to the Preds on a real point, like you made a great point last segment about how Andrew Brunette is, you know, pairing a youth player with two vets. I think that can bode well for them later on in the season if they get off to not an 0-5 start, say like a 3-2 or 4-1, stuff like that.
Fine by me.
Yeah, fine by me. If it's a winning record after five games, I'm okay with that, even or, you know, stuff like that. But I look at it as more of a developmental thing to where if you pair these young guys with the vets, science says, hopefully those young guys learn through, you know, you could say osmosis, off the bench, whatever it may be. And if they mature throughout the first 20 games of the season, then Andrew Burnett's like, you know what? Maybe I can switch up the lines a little bit. I'm comfortable with doing that. Let's do a youngster line. Let's do just all young guys. And maybe the speed, maybe the technical, you know, shifting of the puck with the stick, maybe that works out well for him. I know it sounded very dumb, but besides that, just they're able to mature as players. And with them being young, it opens up another window. And Barry Trotz even said it yesterday. He doesn't want to tear things down. He wants to keep building it up. And I think when you do stuff like that and you're adding young players with the vets, you are building it up. You're no longer closing a window and opening a window. You're continually keeping that window open.
Yeah.
And I think that's a genius idea on paper, and it could work out for them this year.
You make an interesting point there. An all-youth line. Do you remember 2 years ago, while they were going on their 19-game point streak, they had the beast line? It was the fourth line. It was Michael McCarron at center, and then alongside him it was Cole Smith, and I think Luke Evangelista was the other one. That line was so energetic and produced so much that they started games. They were on the opening faceoff.
That was with Kiefer Sherwood, too, wasn't it?
Kiefer Sherwood, yes. Yeah. Kiefer Sherwood. Yes, that was 2 years ago when they made
the grit and grind line. Yes.
I would be in favor of doing that again if it works.
Yeah.
Don't do it for the sake of doing it, obviously. You want to see Forsberg and Stamkos and probably Fedor Svechkov as your starting line. But if you want to provide some juice and we get to that point throughout the season, I am all in favor of a young beast line 2.0 out there on the ice for opening faceoff.
I second all of this. You guys are doing a fantastic job. Please, listeners, listen to these two guys. I don't know a thing about hockey. I know they said I'm a hockey savant, but listen to these two guys.
I think you and Joe Dubin should do a hockey show together.
That'd be great.
It'd be fantastic.
It would do massive ratings. We'd talk about zero hockey, but it would do massive ratings.
No, to your point though, Connor, I think it would be great to see that. Like I said before, it just keeps the window open. But also, too, you mentioned Fedor Svechkov.
Yeah.
Like, how did he look at training camp?
I'll be fully honest with you. I didn't get to see much of practice because we were in a conference room. And, I mean, I was going over to the window to check it out between breaks. It was full scrimmages the whole time. But from what I understand, he played on a line alongside Steven Stamkos, and they made each other look fantastic because they're similar styles of players, right? Mm-hmm. They are both offensive-minded, rack attack to the goal. I think Steven Stamkos is going to be the guy to unlock Fedor Svechkov. It's going to be fun. And that kind of brings me to my next question here. What young guys are most likely to click on this roster? I think Fedor Svechkov is probably the easy answer. But I'm looking at guys that have been, to use a Barry Trotz term, overcooked in Milwaukee. Joakim Kimmel, I think, is a guy that you can look at and say he's due. He had a quick cup of coffee last year here in Nashville as injuries plagued the team, but I think he is NHL ready, and I think he is ready to provide as maybe a third or fourth line winger. I said this yesterday, and I'll repeat that. I would love to see Joakim Kimmel or Reed Schaefer come in here and just dominate in training camp and beat out like Eric Halla for a spot on the third line and shift Eric Halla down to the fourth line. I would love to see that. I think it's just a matter of which young guys need to click. Like Luke Evangelista, obviously, he's going through a contract dispute right now. And
Zach LaRue sticks out for me.
Zach LaRue is definitely
for being a first-round pick. I think it's time for him to kind of hit the ground running, or hit the ice running, I guess I should say.
Hit the ice. Skate.
I'm full of dad jokes today.
Look at you go. Zach LaRue, I think, is the ultimate answer of that. I'll throw another one at you. Eustace Onanen.
Yeah. You know, that was a guy last year where the Preds brought him in from Colorado.
Yeah.
And was like, yeah, Barry said that.
Feels like he's been here like 2 years.
Yeah.
It's hard to believe he didn't even start the season last year with the Preds.
Barry was like, yeah, you know, that was somebody that scouts had their eye on throughout, you know, just throughout the years. And saying that they got a good deal in return for him was obviously a plus. But the fact that they're two juices now and the goaltending in between
big
the pipes.
Juice, little juice.
I think it's a positive because I think Nashville Predator fans have been spoiled throughout the years of having really good goaltending. And I think we take that for granted. Now, obviously the whole UC Soros conversation comes into play with his big contract and just, you know, all that taking place. But now that there might be some positives with the defense pairings and there might actually be some defensive prowess, I think it'll take some pressure off UC Soros.
I compare it to a pitcher in baseball.
Okay.
A pitcher can go out there and be dynamic, and obviously you have contact pitchers now who force contact. If a pitcher is going out there and he gives up a hit, not a hit, but a batter makes contact with the ball and the defense behind the pitcher doesn't do their job, that reflects onto the pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
I think we can look at last year's season for UC Soros and say, yeah, he should have stopped a lot of pucks. But to further contribute to the stats lie conversation we had about Cam Ward, stats also lie for goalies. The defense in front of UC Soros last season was horrid. When Adam Willsby and Nick Blankenberg are your two best defensive pieces, that's probably a problem when you have former Norris Trophy winner Roman Josi on your team. Probably an issue if you have Brady Shea, who you just gave a six-year contract to, and he's under-delivering. The defense in front of UC Soros was horrid last year, and I think it's going to improve this year.
I'd agree. I mean, you mentioned Blankenberg and
Adam Willsby.
Adam Willsby, thank
who
you.
Who has been probably the best player in training camp so far, according
really?
To many sources.
Willsby. That's yes. good to know. Yeah, I think those guys, they had decent years last year. I mean, they weren't kind of like Cam Ward. They weren't great, but they were serviceable.
And yeah.
I think this year you can build off that serviceable, I guess, play from last year. And if you can do that, it should be a huge upside for this defense for the Preds.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get to your calls and your texts next on the Predators. Also, we'll maybe transition into some college football talk as well. Who is more of a college football threat, Vanderbilt or Tennessee? But I want to continue along with the Preds as we'll get to some of your texts and calls on the other side. Again, 615-737-1025 if you want to get in on the conversation. We'll be right back after this to talk a little bit more Predators hockey on the Weekend Huddle here on 102.5 The Game. Oh, yeah. That's the white girl music we all want to hear right there. Weekend Huddle here on 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by LPL Financial.
Going out on a limb. Was that Tate McRae?
Indeed.
Okay. That was Tate McRae. Hopefully Diego Pavia lands a date with her.
Yeah.
We'll yes. have a tracker on that, by the
yes.
way.
Weekend Huddle brought to you by LPL Financial. Investment advice for you in the short term and for the future. Let me also really quick tell you that today's college football game of the week is Auburn versus Oklahoma. I think Auburn's going to win that game, to be honest with you. At 2:30 p.m. on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks Restaurants and Circa Sportsbook Kentucky. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and the Game Nashville .com. Welcome back in. Weekend Huddle, as I said, here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newton, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly here with you, talking a little bit of Predators hockey as the preseason gets rolling tomorrow in a doubleheader against the Florida Panthers. Let's get to some of your calls and texts. Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in TC, who has been waiting very patiently on our phone line. TC, go ahead.
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
Doing well.
All right. Saw Nick Frazier at a high school game yesterday. It was awesome. The guy's still working this morning. It makes me feel like a bum. I love it. And then I'm with you guys on just needing a championship. Right now, I just need a win. I don't care if it's Vandy. I don't care if it's the Predators. I don't care if it's the Little League team going to the World Series. Anything helps right now. We're the wounded. I guess a National Soccer Club maybe.
Yeah, October 1st. Be watching for it.
I don't know. I barely know. So circling back to the press, just as a basic fan that's just thirsty for anything, I don't know whose jersey to get besides Juice. And then just relating it to basketball and football, I don't know who the defensive star is, and I don't know who the offensive star is. I don't mind the defense, though, too, if I'm getting a goalie or anything. So for just the basic average hockey guy, if you guys can sprinkle that in when you do it,
okay,
that would help. Give me somebody to get excited about. Just even the new guy, whatever. Like, hey, bet on his jersey.
Okay.
And I roll with it. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks, TC. Thank you for the call. So TC needs help purchasing a jersey. And I'll open this up to the text line, 615-737-1025, if you want to help TC out. He wants an offensive star and a defensive star as sort of options. If you're going offense, I mean, the answer for me is pretty simple. number 9 on the ice, number 1 in our hearts. My favorite Predator of all time, Philip Forsberg. The all-time, is he the all-time leading scorer in goals scored for the Predators?
I believe.
Or is that still?
Let me double check.
Leguan. I don't know. I'll have to double check on that one. But regardless, Philip Forsberg has been here for a long, long time, and he is still delivering on all cylinders. He's a 40-goal scorer. He is an offensive star and probably the keystone piece that this offense is built around. The leading goal scorer in Predators franchise history?
318.
Yeah. There you go. 318 career goals.
That's what it says on online. So
okay.
Yeah, all-time leading goals.
I trust it. So there you go. I mean, defensive stars, he mentioned UC Saros. Roman Josi comes to mind. Those are probably the two I would give you. Now, he said, who are young guys coming up? And we've kind of hit on that a little bit. I think Zach LaRue is one to look at. I think Fedor Svechkov is one to look at. On the defensive side, I think Nick Blankenberg. He's not going to be here this year yet. But watching him yesterday, and I liked it when they made the trade for him as well, I really like Andrew Gibson.
Do you know?
Over in Milwaukee. I really like him. He is massive. He's like 6'6", 260. Dude is giant as a defenseman.
Holy cow.
Yeah, he's a monster. But here's the thing. He's kind of an offensive defenseman, similar to Roman Josi, in that, yeah, he plays the defensive side of the puck well, but he can also score a goal or two if you need him to. So I think that's kind of what they're trying to get out of Justin Barron currently. But I really like Andrew Gibson, and I think he's going to be good for a long time here.
Yeah, as for TC's comment about what jersey to purchase, listen.
I didn't think that's where we were going, but I'm welcome the conversation.
I'll be honest with you, TC. Every time I purchase a jersey, bad stuff tends to happen. Yes. Like, when I mean purchase a jersey, I mean with a name and number on the back of it.
I've stopped doing it.
I bought a Chris Johnson jersey, and of course it was on the latter end of his year with the Titans, so then he ended up going to Arizona. Bad idea there. Ended up buying a Tyrone Calico. Oh, I got it for a gift for my birthday. Tyrone Calico jersey. Done. Hurt. Done with. Vince Young jersey. Done. Gone. Ended up, I think I got a Preds jersey 1 year. I think it was, might have been Pecorine. And, of course, it was his last season. So
that one pans out. That one's still evergreen. You can wear that forever.
And then there are a lot of soccer jerseys. I don't want to get into that. But ended up, you know, they ended up.
No, I'm with you. I have bad jersey luck as well. You know who the last jersey I purchased was?
Will Levis.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah.
By the way, this is a complete side note, but I've considered wearing a Marcus Mariota Titans jersey in the press box tomorrow at the Titans game since he's starting for the Commanders.
Are you going to get kicked out?
I don't know if do that one, Chief.
I'm not going to do it. But how funny would that be?
Your fondue rights have been prohibited. No fondue for you. Let's get to some of your texts on the Predators. Matthew and Jolton on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. In conversation about the Preds versus the Titans, the window for the Preds is closing rapidly, but there's a chance the Titans are at least 3 years away. I agree with that.
Hold up. They said the Preds window is closing?
Yes.
I somewhat agree to
that. I think it's ajar right now. I don't think it's as close to closing as you think it is, because I like this young talent that they're bringing in, and I think the veterans that they have on this roster have a lot of juice left.
If the young guys work out, yeah. If the young guys work out with the vets, like you're talking about, that 2-by-1, like vet.
It's going to be great.
I think this window is wide open.
It's the recipe for success. Now, the thing I would say about the Predators that they need, and it's going to be very hard for them to find, and maybe they have it in Brady Martin, who I can't believe we haven't mentioned yet. That is a keystone. There you go, TC. There's your jersey to purchase. Brady Martin.
Zach LaRue is a personal vote. I just love a guy that hits
people. As they say on NHL
26.
It sounds like you're coughing up a loogie. Regardless, that is one thing I think the Predators need, is that one guy that they absolutely hit on. Like the level of Connor McDavid or Connor Bedard or Austin Matthews or guys like that that are just setting the world on fire whenever they hit the ice. And look, I don't need Connor McDavid. I mean, that sounds ridiculous to say. You don't need to have an exact replica of Connor McDavid on your team to have some success. But that's the best player in the entire league, and he is like that for a reason. He also helps that he has Leon Draisaitl on his side. So you need a guy like that to hit, and whether that's Brady Martin, whether that's one of the guys you already got in your holster in Zach LaRue or
Fedor Svechkov
or Joachim Kimmel or Reed Schaefer or whomever, you need a guy to just become an absolute star. And I think that's the one thing that the Predators are sort of missing and kind of what led to their success for the longest time when they were winning President's Trophies, when they were in the Stanley Cup Final, is Philip Forsberg was an offensive star. And on top of that, he had Ryan Johansson alongside him. And on defense, you had Roman Josi and P.K. Subban and Matthias Ekholm and guys that you could trust in. Plus, you had developing young talent in Colton Sissons and Kevin Fiala and guys like that. That's where I don't want to say we're trending towards that direction, but this team's makeup reminds me so much of some of the makeup of teams of old. I'm getting a little excited thinking about it, and maybe I'm setting unrealistic expectations based on the season they had last year, but I think this team is a playoff contender.
I agree.
I really do. So really quickly, kind of to segue away from the Preds for a second, just for a couple of minutes, and for funsies, two local teams today play in college football, Vanderbilt taking on Georgia State, and Tennessee taking on Big Joe's favorite coach of all time in UAB. I ask you this really quickly, and we don't have to get super in-depth on this. Who is more of a college football playoff threat right now, Vanderbilt or Tennessee?
I'm in the camp of Vanderbilt.
Really?
I think Vanderbilt's more of a contender than Tennessee.
Want to hear something?
Sure.
I agree with you.
I am shocked. I, for one, am shocked that both of you picked Vanderbilt. Give me the Vols. I think the Vols are more of a playoff contender right now just because it's a more workable schedule. And Tennessee will play Vanderbilt at the end of the year. I think Tennessee has the advantage because it's at Neyland.
There you go. There is our quick hit on the college football topic I planned for 15 minutes, and then we just didn't get to. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to weigh in on the conversation. One more segment for you to weigh in on, so get those texts in now. Again, 615-737-1025. When we come back, it is the end of an era. Parker Kelly's final segment, full-time, on this show. And to do that, we cap it off with our favorite game, Where Are They Now? He will host, Nick Frazier and I will do battle. That's coming up next right here on the Weekend Huddle on 102.5 The Game. Why are you playing this?
Got a friend to do.
I don't know. I was just kind of feeling it.
You got a friend in me. Weekend Huddle here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Duke, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly here with you for about 15 more minutes. And as we wrap it up here on the program, as we play every week, we will play our favorite game, Where Are They Now? Parker Kelly has assembled a team of five players and or coaches. And it is my job and Nick Frazier's job to decide where they are now. The first three are in North America. That's the United States, Canada, and Mexico. The last two... Thank you, Joe. The last two can be anywhere throughout the world. It's 1 point for the specific league, 2 points for the specific team. In the event of a tiebreaker, Parker will provide a career path of a player based on whatever sport they play, and we will decide who said player is. Are we good? We're good?
We're good, I think.
Let's do it.
My chest started... I don't know, pulsating for a second over here. I don't know what's going on. Maybe the chest day I had the other day. I don't know.
Dude, I had a monster leg day the other day. This is a quick sidebar. My legs don't work today. So.
Yeah, Connor, it was hobbled this morning.
I was.
Walking into the stadium.
I was crippled.
I ate too much last night. My stomach hurts. Does that equate?
Sure.
All right.
Sure. We're all dying today. All right. Let's play. Hit that music. Brought to you by... possibly you. There we go. Take it away.
All right. I have assembled a very juicy list for today because it's only right that we go out this way, or at least I do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go for it.
Number one on the list for Where Are They Now? Charvarius Ward.
Oh.
Cornerback, former MTSU Blue Raider. Where is Charvarius Ward now?
Former Blue Raider. Charvarius, I think, is still in the NFL. I know where he played last. I don't know if he's moved on since then. But I'll say he's still with the San Francisco 49ers.
Charvarius Ward was drafted by the Niners, I believe.
Yes.
Went to MTSU. Still plays in the NFL and plays for the Indianapolis Colts. And he's injured right now.
You are correct, Nick Frazier. Oh my goodness. Plays for the Indianapolis Colts. Connor, I know you got to be punching yourself right now because of that. He signed as an undrafted free agent with the Cowboys, spent some time with the Chiefs, the Niners, and he is now with the Colts, and he is questionable for tomorrow's game.
I thought he was drafted by the Niners. I guess not.
I don't know. I just remember him on the Niners because when the Niners and the Eagles played in the NFC Championship, it was the battle of MTSU defensive backs. There were two on the Eagles side. It was Kevin Byard and Reed Blankenship, and then Charvarius Ward. So I'm mad at myself that I got that one wrong. I apologize to my Blue Raiders.
So we have a 2-1 lead, Nick Frazier.
3-1. Okay. 3-1.
3-1.
Yeah.
Here we go. Next up on the list, Nick Nash, former San Jose State receiver, led the country in receiving yards last season.
Oh, Frazier, you loved him coming out of that draft. Remember?
He was incredible. He should have won the Blintkoff over Travis Hunter.
He was up for it. He was up for the award. Did not win it. But where is Nick Nash now?
Nick Nash, I think he's probably an undrafted free agent. I'm going to say he is in the NFL, and I'll say Los Angeles Chargers.
I'm going to go with NFL, and he is on the practice squad for the Minnesota Vikings.
You are so close. Okay, Nick Nash was an undrafted free agent, but he is currently a member of the Falcons practice squad.
I knew he was in the NFL. I knew someone would take a flyer on him. All right.
Stud.
4-2.
I have a weird conundrum because I consider myself good at math, but when it comes to being on the air, I can't do math at the same time while I'm on the air, so someone help me out with the score.
4-2.
4-2. 4-2. Okay, thank you. All right, here's a good one.
Chipping away.
Here's a good one. Former Houston Cougars quarterback and Miami Hurricanes quarterback, D'Eriq King. Where is D'Eriq King now?
Oh, I remember him, too. D'Eriq King. I'll say he's in the UFL playing for the Michigan Panthers.
I'm going to go with UFL as well. He plays for the Birmingham Stallions.
Okay, so I would not have been able to do this one if we didn't change the rules because he's a coach.
Oh.
D'Eriq King is a quarterback coach at SMU.
Oh, that's your team.
Under Rhett Lashley, who is his offensive coordinator at Miami.
He's on your staff.
I got gypped.
Well, you did move on to Texas Tech, so.
Yeah. Tortillas, baby.
Tortillas.
Now we get into the international slate. Here we go.
This is the fun part.
All right. He played a lot of different places, but I remember him during his time with the Oklahoma City Thunder. Where is Serge Ibaka?
Have we had this one before?
I haven't.
I think maybe you and Jake has.
Serge, I feel like, is playing in Spain for Real Madrid.
I'm going to say Serge Ibaka is playing in Europe, but specifically in France, playing for AS Monaco.
Negative. Okay, he is in Europe, but he is playing for Bayern Munich in Germany.
Oh! I knew it was a soccer team. Oh, my God.
So we're still 4-2. Still 4-2, Nick Frazier. Last one.
Oh, we got to be on the money here.
Best one. Last one, best one.
Be all right,
this is going to be a doozy.
Okay.
Just giving you a full disclosure. Former TCU quarterback, some argue that he should have been in the Heisman race. Former TCU quarterback.
Max Duggan.
Trevon Boykin.
Oh.
Where's Trevon Boykin now?
I remember him. Oh, my God. He's playing overseas? Oh, my God. I'm going to say he's playing in the Italian Football League for
Okay, so I know neither of you are going to get this. I'm going to give you a hint. It is not across the pond.
Well, it has to be. Wait, no, it doesn't.
It is not across the
as
pond.
Long as it's not in North America. Okay. It's not across the pond.
It is on the western, in the western hemisphere.
Well, this is where my geography comes into play, because I don't know where is where in the world. Okay. I'll say he's playing in Brazil for the Brazil Kangaroos.
I'm going to go Mexico.
Mexico's in North America, pal.
I know, but there's a Mexican football league. I don't know any other like football leagues.
I know. That's why I said Italy, because I know there's one.
Frazier, you genius, sir. Bingo. He's playing in the Mexican Liga de Football for the Dinos de... I'm not even going to try to pronounce that.
The Dinos.
The Dinos.
There you go.
Wow. I mean... I could send an appeal to the office, because that is North America.
Yeah, New York could make an appeal if you want. I am New York. I can make
that's okay.
an appeal.
I was going to lose anyway. So, Nick Frazier wins.
Two on the board.
There you go.
Finally.
I just I cannot get one to go as of late. It's just been a... That's what she said. It's just been a downward surge.
Whoa.
Whoa. Yeah, it's all right. You have a little pick-me-up next
week.
We'll
get there.
Yeah. I'm excited for the duels.
Yeah. Well, I'll work out the kinks there, but it's you versus me.
Okay.
This will be fun.
It will be.
It'll be fun.
It will be fun.
It'll be fun.
You crack me up, Connor. I love it.
You make me laugh. That'll do it for us today here on the Weekend Huddle. And let me just say, I didn't put a video tribute for Parker Kelly together, but he knows how much we appreciate him here, and he's not going anywhere. He'll still be around. We'll still have the Game Blitz on Fridays, and then you'll, of course, still be on the air with Jake Lyman.
He'll be featured from time to time on the
show. Yeah, that's right.
You are not banned from this show. You're always welcome. The door is always open if you ever want to pop on a set of the cans and get to work.
That's right.
That's what she said. Anyways.
Man, two for two, Connor. Man, in the span of 3 minutes right there?
That will do it for us here on the Weekend Huddle. For Nick Frazier, for Parker Kelly, I am Connor Newt saying good luck. Or not good luck.
Good luck.
Good luck, yes.
Good luck.
Saying good night. What do I want to say here? Saying goodbye.
Great day on a Saturday.
Have a great day.
Good luck to the Texas Tech Raiders who kick off in about 3 minutes.
Good luck to the MTSU Blue Raiders who kick off tonight against Marshall. That game's going to be on 93.3. Georgia State and Vanderbilt will also be right here on 102.5 the game here in a couple hours as they do battle. But for those two games, make sure to keep it locked here on 102.5 the game. And for us, we say goodbye. Enjoy college football today. Enjoy the Titans, or maybe don't enjoy the Titans tomorrow, on an NFL Sunday. We will see you next week right here on the Weekend Huddle on 102.5 the game.
See ya!